Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
As we bring Jesse in, and the reason why everything is so corn-related on our program today is that Woodsy said when he tweeted last night, what happened to all the greatest fans in baseball?
Yeah, baseball's best
fans. Why is there no one at the game? Someone responded that, well, the corn is sweating, and it's creating such heat and humidity that even Cardinals fans deserve to watch at air conditioning, and they're not showing up. And we didn't realize that corn could sweat, Jesse. So that's why you're so uncomfortable when you have to go outside in St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning. Here's a kernel of information
for you. USOB.
They can blame the corn all they want, but, I mean, it ain't the corn. This town, and I talked to a bunch of people about it yesterday, seems to have revolted against this team, which is not something I think a lot of us ever thought was possible. And it was wild being in that building last night. And again, there are 500 teams.
Yeah.
Like, they went into yesterday's game with 65-65. It's not like they're 30 games out and, you know, it's like, okay, you understand it. Like, that's a 500 team that's on the outside looking in, but like in the general conversation about the wild card, second place team in a division, although well back of Milwaukee at this point. And the fans are fed up. It is really, really wild. And, I mean, I never thought I would see that few people in that building for a baseball game.
We found out yesterday, Jesse, that they have not had back-to-back losing seasons since 162-game seasons were invented. So now I'm wondering, maybe they've just been such pleasant baseball fans because they've never had to live through what the rest of us have had to live through.
Right.
And that is, you know, tough seasons consecutively, which is really weird and lucky for them until now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an organization that, and you know, the people who are not from here or don't consider themselves part of the little Cardinal solar system, you know, you sometimes poke fun of the Cardinal way,
sure,
the best fans in baseball, all that kind of stuff. But like, they really did for decades have a system and a thing that they, you know, sort of believed in and operated with. And it seems like they've gotten away from that, which is quite a choice. You know, the most successful National League team ever by quite a bit, when you really think about it, in terms of pennants and World Series. They're not at the Yankee level, but there's nobody else really at their level. And to say, you know what, we're going to be in charge now, and we think we're a little bit smarter, you know, than everybody else who's been here. We're going to do things differently in our own way. And then to have really abject failures coming out of that. And to continue to say, no, this is the way we're going to do it. The Mike Schilt thing still burns the fans here. There's always stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we'll never know about. So I don't want to oversimplify something like that. But, I mean, he was a winner. And that's what it's about, is winning. And, you know, I think the fans here, that was maybe one of the, I don't want to say last straws, because I don't think we're at last straws yet. But that was definitely one of the contributing factors, it seems, for this fan base to kind of look at the people who are running the team and being like, what do you guys got going on here? You know, what's your plan? And then to come out and kind of have the struggles that they have had, it's you're entitled to bad years. Don't get me wrong. You're entitled to bad decisions. Every team has that. But to see this fan base turn on this team in this way, I'm telling you, it's borderline unbelievable for me.
That's wild, man. And you know, I was thinking about it last night, right, when I put the broadcast on television, that it's like one of the first things they said. They were blown away. Mudd was like, I can't wrap my head around this. And I did see a lot of the Schilt discourse on Twitter as well after the game of like, hey, man, you guys thought you were smarter than everybody else, and you went and hired Ollie Marmol. He's not very well liked at all in St. Louis. It's just pretty nuts how, you know, what can change in a couple years, Jesse. And then you watch, like, man, I always loved Paul Goldschmidt. I really did. What an elite hitter he was. It's wild to watch him scuffle and not come through. His batting average, I think, with runners in scoring position is in the, it's got a one in front of it, which is just hard to wrap my head around.
162 going to play yesterday, although as I was saying that, he had an RBI single, of course. You know, he's the one, you know, that jumps off the page because, you know, you can talk about the front office, you can talk about Ollie Marmol, but if Paul Goldschmidt was hitting around 300, you know, maybe things are very, very different for them, not to put it all on one guy. But, you know, that's a good reminder. And you know, Matt Olson is another one this year who had, you know, MVP, led the league in everything a season ago, terrible year. And it's just a really good reminder about baseball that, you know, we saw it last year with some of the Padres. You know, you think, all right, slow start, he'll get it going. Sometimes you just don't. And, you know, maybe it's injury related. Sometimes there's a mental thing going on. Sometimes it's just one of those years. And, yeah, for Paul Goldschmidt to come into play on August 27th, hitting 227 is jarring. You know, I mean, even last year, which was, you know, maybe something of a down year for him, still had more hits than any other Cardinal, still had more walks than any other Cardinal, still had 31 doubles to lead the team. And you're like, all right, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt, 35 years old, he's got it. You know, now he's about to be 37, and is this the end? I don't know. You know, maybe he bounces back and has a great year next year. Because I'm with you. He's always been one of my favorite guys to see. Just pro, great hitter, tremendous player. And to see his numbers where they are is, as I said, kind of a reminder that, like, you know, you think you know what you're talking about in spring training in terms of who's going to produce what. But, boy, the baseball season is a mean, mean summer. And you just never quite know.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Talking to Jesse Aguilar here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks to Goose for that.
Aguilar.
Ear of corn.
Ear of
Aguilar.
Corn.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
On 97.3 The Fan. Now, it's hard.
That was amazing.
There you go.
Oh, they can't stop.
It's hard to come up with things to say now about Jackson Merrill, questions to ask about Jackson Merrill. He's just continuing to do amazing things. But I thought this one was interesting yesterday. He was facing Kyle Gibson for the second time, homered off him way back in April. And I saw that, you know, Gibson got him on the first at-bat, made an adjustment. And then Jackson comes back and readjusts back in the next at-bat. Really good with the bases loaded, pressure situation. The fact that he has been able to do that, Jesse, so quickly in his rookie year, that's something that you don't often see from players until they get, you know, several years into their big league career. But he seems almost adjustment proof at this point.
Oh, I hesitate to say that because it feels like a dangerous thing, but it does seem that way. I mean, it's hard to argue with your point. You know, Mike Schilt said, I think it was yesterday, he just has this ability to slow things down. And as you said, it's kind of one of those things we generally say about guys who have, like, you know, been around 6-7 years in the big leagues and have kind of been through all these scenarios and have learned lessons the hard way. And he's out there doing it as a 21-year-old, you know, in August of his first major league season. You know, the thing that impressed me most about that at bat, and you're right, the adjustment was great and kind of playing the cat and mouse game with Kyle Gibson. But it was, you know, he had hit the walk-off home run the day before. You're up in a bases-loaded situation. It would be very easy for any hitter, particularly a young hitter, but really any hitter, to be like, I am going to hit this ball 1,000 miles out to right field. That's what I want to try and do. And what did he do? Just sliced one the other way. And that has been the MO of this team and of Jackson Merrill all year long when they are at their best, and they've obviously been at their best for quite a while now. It's just never trying to do too much at the plate. And it is so impressive to see it, again, especially from a guy that's 21 years old, but to be in that moment, not let it get away from you, and you know what? Perfect. Bing, the other way, 2 runs come in, and that was pretty much it. I mean, it's been remarkable watching the difference in the offensive approach this year as compared to last year, the sort of buy-in that they've gotten from everybody on the roster. You add in guys like Solano and Arise, who are sort of naturally that way, and that's why this team is so much better with runners in scoring position. That's why this team is so much better in, you know, close games, clutch spots than they were a year ago. And to be able to do a literal 180 in a season is pretty incredible. And, you know, endless credit to Victor Rodriguez, endless credit to Mike Schilt, endless credit to the rest of the hitting staff and all these players for kind of sticking with the approach, staying disciplined. And I mean, it seems like I could count on one hand this year the number of at-bats I've seen where somebody was trying to do too much, when last year it seemed like it was happening every single night, four or five times. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Look at the record now as compared to this time last year.
The proof is actually in the pot de creme, is what I learned earlier. It's a fancy name for pudding. I learn a lot on this show, talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. So St. Louis into Tampa. Got to be your favorite road trip of the year. St. Louis for four.
Picture, and then, Jesse, about a year ago when the schedule was released. Circled that and goes, I can't wait.
Yeah, toasted raviolis. 100%
humidity. Glad there's no off day here on this one.
Yeah,
just
get it done as fast as possible. Get it over. I know we ask you every year, and I never get tired of your St. Louis stories. This is a good time for you to catch up on maybe a book you're reading, or some YouTubing, or some Netflix shows.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I've got a book. I finally started Oppenheimer. I've kind of been putting it off.
So
I'm making my way through that. I've got a book that I'm making my way through. This is definitely one of those things. This is not a go out and about kind of road trip, particularly, you know, end of August, end of an 18 in a row stretch, 100 degrees with 100% humidity. At least the games in Tampa will be indoors. But this is.
How's the booth?
I did.
Filled with bugs,
great.
If it's like the TV booth.
Apparently. Yeah, there was lots of bugs in the TV booth.
Here's one. This is very inside baseball, but you guys might appreciate
it. We like it.
It's amazing to me that, you know, they build these stadiums, right? And I'm talking like probably 90% of the booths, TV, radio, both, you know, all over the league. The booth is constructed in a way as if they didn't realize people would be sitting up front broadcasting the game, which, and I mean by that is that, like, Dave Marcus kind of sits behind us in most of these places.
Yep.
He's got like a little tower, right, with all his equipment. And in the ceiling above Dave and kind of in the back of the booth by the door are like normal fluorescent lights. But then at the desk where we sit, there are no lights. And it's like, what did you think was going to be happening in this room when you constructed this building? And it's like, you get your flashlight out, like trying to read stuff. Because it's like, you know, at a night game, it's just dark. And it's like, what were you guys thinking? And it's like, it's amazing to me that place after place. So, no, not a good booth. The view is fine, but it's cramped and dark and obviously hot. So
Dave should have one of those desk lamps for you that he just packs
and then sets up
right there. And you just, you know, pull the little chain when you sit down and you've got your desk lamp.
That's exactly right.
The little green one, like an old accountant.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Click, click. And maybe a little portable fan, perhaps, for you guys as
well. Oh, no. Oh, he brings fans for himself. He brings fans for himself. Multiple. He's got angled both ways. Yeah.
Just on him. Yeah, you can't really do it with a mic either. There's one in here, but you can't really turn it on because it makes.
Yeah,
the mic picks it up. All right, so you guys are going to kill me, but. I made an executive decision. We're not going to do song lyrics today. We were going to do Oasis. But I don't want to jinx the band. They just announced they're getting back together. They hated each other for many years. We were going to do an Oasis song.
Seriously?
Yeah. And I just said, you know what?
You spent all week telling us how this is not a dictatorship.
Correct. Here's how it's not a dictatorship. I let Ben pick the word.
Words. And you didn't like my word, so you nixed it.
No, you do your word.
Oh, well,
because
Paulie doesn't even have the word.
This is not a dictatorship.
All right, fine. Yeah, we're going back. We're going with corn.
Yeah, because we've been talking about corn all day.
Jesse is a civilized man. I'm sure he's gone to some nice restaurants and seen this item perhaps on a menu at a fancy Mexican restaurant, but it is it's a fungus that grows on corn. That is a delicacy, especially in Mexican cuisine.
You eat the fungus.
You actually eat the fungus. In America, it's just called corn smut. But when you order at the restaurant,
I like that.
It's called huitlacoche.
Huitlacoche?
Huitlacoche. And I will text it to you, Jesse. But
Please, yes.
Huitlacoche.
Huitlacoche.
Yeah. Huitlacoche. Huitlacoche.
Sorry about it.
I've actually never heard of that, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I know. You can look it up a little bit.
Or if you just want to work
like
in...
It's like a mushroom that grows on corn that people eat. It really looks nasty, I must say.
Or if you just want to work in corn smut, that will also work, Jesse. But you pick. I'll give you the option.
It's a fungus.
Corn smut.
Huitlacoche.
Or huitlacoche.
Have you ever actually eaten it, Ben?
I have eaten it.
Of course,
yes. It's the Mexican truffle, as Ray points out. It's a very high-end gourmet ingredient that you'll find only in the finest restaurants. Huitlacoche is today's incorporator word. Thank you for not dictating the offer.
Not a dictatorship.
People in the chat know it. They're coming up with it.
It's not a dictatorship.
We learn things on this program as well. I like to be educational as well as fun.
I need some, people tweeting me. I need some restaurant recommendations in San Diego where I can get huitlacoche.
There are several. You can go up to maybe Vaga in Lucadia. They definitely have some on the menu.
What if you hate mushrooms? I don't like mushrooms.
Well, you probably won't like huitlacoche then.
I love mushrooms.
All right, well then you'll like corn smut. Please just stay corn smut. I'm begging you.
Thank you, Jesse,
thank you very
much. Thank you, buddy. Bring your gold bond, Jesse. Very warm. Very warm.
Jesse Agler.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.